I do kind of want to identify these little things I see in my own circle that are uncomfortable, because I don't want to wind up in another spot where, oh shit, I didn't know this was wrong this whole time.
Your friends are used to you being a little controversial, a little...
I don't know if they would call it controversial. I speak my mind a lot.
Oh, maybe that sounds problematic to me.
It can be.
Who's out there speaking their mind who's not problematic sometimes? You know what I mean? Like the idea that you could be completely orthodox.
I mean,
on an either side of anything.
Dumb people, but
fighting words. Okay.
I don't know. It just depends on what they're saying, I guess. Yeah. I tend to be the one to clear the room at a party.
The one to clear the room at a party. I do the same thing sometimes. Like the other, I was at a lesbian queer type party, pool party the other night, and I guess. I shared a joint with some people, and then I can get pretty excited, and when I'm high, like talking about like politics, religion, stuff like that, like my kind of grand sweeping ideas for how to fix everything. And I think I can tell when my girlfriend starts getting uncomfortable. And it's not like if we were talking about it, she would be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's that she's like not sure if I'm like fully like reading the room in terms of, you know, who still gives a shit, whether some people like are just too dumb to follow at that point.
Yeah.
Some people aren't interested in those topics. Some people are just like, this is a party. We shouldn't be talking about anything interesting. But I can always see like, cause for me, like then I could see this one woman was really engaged with what I was saying. And like, we were having kind of an interesting, like I could tell we wanted to like have a debate of ideas. Is and like really like mm-hmm. in a very friendly way, you know, whatever. And then eventually like we close the circle down to like my girlfriend left to talk to someone, so she didn't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And then I think someone you know, some other people paired up, and then I was talking to a couple of people, and it was like a good situation. But it is like, yeah, it's like kind of clear, but I'm like, yeah,
anxious, I think.
Yeah. And it's also like, that's what when I am excited about something, like I do want to find my audience. I would rather in the first place just be talking to one person. It's not my fault we're in a hot tub right now. Right. You know, go away, everyone else who doesn't want to talk about this.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot. If people just get uncomfortable, and it's usually about the shit I'm saying, which isn't what anybody usually wants to talk about. But
what was the last topic you made people uncomfortable?
Oh, geez. I just kind of get a little loud and talky if I'm drinking or at a party, and I'm usually fake outraged about something.
Right. People and sometimes can't tell when you're kind of like putting on the outrage thing. For fun.
And then it's like, I am.
No, I'm just being animated because
yeah,
it's more, you
it's
know,
like,
fun.
Oh, wait. Well, you don't know me, and you probably just think I'm a crazy person, and all my friends are dealing with it. It's usually lighthearted and ends in laughter. That's kind of the goal, but I think when I was younger, it wasn't always like that. I was really uncomfortable with just witnessing any kind of debate and just kind of mistaking it for arguments or conflict.
Interesting.
And I don't know if that's what people are doing. Maybe they're just like, well, this is a controversial topic right now, and rot for, you know, discomfort or some kind of disagreement to happen, and they don't really want to deal with the conflict of that.
Yeah, maybe I'm like, that's part of why I'm so comfortable with conflict about ideas. Not necessarily if it's interpersonal, people with people's feelings are involved and like people being hurt, like that's less comfortable. But when it's debating ideas, I think maybe I'm just really comfortable with that because as a family, we did that a lot, just around the dinner table, the seven of us like would debate. But then also we did have a lot of conflict in the family. And so, but those were different things.
And
like
you grew
debate.
Up Mormon.
Yeah.
And I grew up Jehovah's Witness. So it's like similar, like, I think, comforts with maybe doing that kind of thinking because we are used to it, and then maybe even just had to do a little bit of uncomfortable thinking to break out of it.
Right. So. Yeah, because when you're in one of the more involved religions where people really are devout and take it seriously, then you do wind up like having theological debates a lot and discussions. And so you get used to that. And then you're always kind of like at school, you're kind of defending your stupid church, and then your stupid church, you're kind of defending, you know, you mean kind of like speaking around the words. Yeah. And then once you leave, as you leave your church, like, yeah, you have to do all this reflecting. And then you kind of realize like, oh, okay, this is an ideology. And you can be, when you're orthodox in these ideologies and blindly following it, like there's a danger to that. And we kind of, you kind of learn how to be aware.
Yeah. And if you did grow up believing it, it's even harder because you are challenging yourself. It's not comfortable to think like, oh, shit, this has been wrong. What else is wrong?
Right, and then, what else is wrong?
For me, that's why maybe it's comfortable to explore that shit because I do kind of want to identify these little things I see in my own circle that are uncomfortable because I don't want to wind up in another spot where, oh, shit, I didn't know this was wrong this whole time.
Right.
So maybe we should be talking about these things that are uncomfortable because maybe you are too.
Right. And it's just like at church, definitely, you know, it's not really okay to start bringing, in most contexts, it's not really okay to bring up your questions, your doubts, whatever. And sometimes you could be, and people, better teachers would be like, oh, that's a good question. Like, let's think about that. Right. That is tough.
Approved questions.
Then, you know, it depends on the teacher for sure and depends on the church. But then a lot of times it was like really that kind of thing could be shut down. And so, and it's very similar in people's, I think, you know, kind of political tribes nowadays, as things have gotten so polarized and stuff, people can be very similar to that kind of religious mindset of like, hey, don't bring up questions that are causing me cognitive dissonance.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And then my mom is still practicing. So, you know, we've had these conversations and we're pretty blunt with each other and respectful at least. So I'm grateful for that. But it is frustrating because it does get shut down. At the end of the day, I can ask her all the logical questions I want, and she's going to end up shutting it down by way of just the grand scale manipulation that happens in those sort of religions where it's like, this is challenging my faith and it's supposed to be challenging and therefore I'm shutting it down. Because to do otherwise, I'm an apostate or whatever you want to say.
Right. And then for people in our parents' situations, like, not only do they not want to be an apostate, but like, if you admitted to yourself like how wrong the churches are, how not the only true church the churches are, there's this whole sunk cost issue where you've spent your whole life, you know, living a certain way and also proselytizing and, you know, and so then it would just be too much for most people at, you know, at 60, at 70 years old to be like,
she's not going to suddenly be accepting of like the greater void or whatever. She's never going
to
do that.
You don't have to be a nihilist.
Well, I guess the way she got into it was, you know, I directly asked her, what was it that caught you? Because I never had, and it was after she had had me and was just really looking for meaning in life, was having a lot of existential dread about, you know, the possibility of dying still young or me dying, and just couldn't handle the fact that was it. And, you know, they came at just the right time, which is kind of their whole deal, just to cash in on that vulnerability, I guess. Not so maliciously, you know.
Yeah,
it's not so malicious. I didn't know malicious people
right
in the church. It was, I mean, I did, but it was rare, you know, like Mormons,
of course,
you're seen as nice people, you know, generally.
And they generally are nice people,
right?
And they do generally mean well. I mean, there's definitely some questions about some of the people at the top and whether they know that there's some corruption or whatever, but most people in these religions, I mean, religions are providing people security and meaning and community, and those are huge. And they're fraternities, you know, and that's the social capital that you can have in a religion is really valuable. And so, like, I don't necessarily want to take that away from our parents either. It's like, that's their community. That's
why I had to accept it with my mom, because she didn't have that outside of it. I have a lot of empathy for that. It's, you know, riddled with all kinds of conflict for me, but I have kind of let it go because she's not pushing it on me.
Nice.
It's just, she doesn't have a community outside of that. When she wasn't active, it was depression. It was just, you know, she didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to live. So, yeah, I try to think about that stuff. It's just also parallel to, you know, all these other problems that we can't really talk about because she won't listen to it. So it's kind of, she's willfully uninformed and plans to be always. And every conversation is frustrating because of that, because everything is news to her, you know.
Well, you know what? We're all uninformed, willfully and otherwise, about almost everything in the entire universe. So here we are. But hey, will you tell us who you are, what you are, and why you're here?
Okay. Well, my name is Tiffany, and I don't know who I am yet, but I'm here because I've been a fan of you. I've been a fan of the podcast for a while and had messaged you a couple times just kind of, you know, sharing my thoughts just kind of unsolicited. And so, yeah, thanks for having me, because I do think the podcast is interesting. It's not like what I have been listening to as far as the things you're talking about. You're not talking about them in a way that I'm used to, and it's something that I think is necessary and could help, maybe hard to execute out in the real world sometimes. So, but yeah, lived in Austin my whole life, was born here. So I haven't gone much of anywhere, but I have known a lot of people. I've my partner right now, so we've been together 7 years.
Wow.
Crazy. So she transitioned about 3 years into our relationship, and we've been kind of, I think you and I, talking a little bit about, you know, how we're, the frustrations we're seeing within our own kind of circle and community. And, you know, I was a little nervous coming into this and just thinking about, you know, what do I really have to say? Like, I don't want to presume to speak for anybody, and like, what does it matter? And then kind of having this realization that maybe that is the frustration, is that I don't feel like I have a place at the table necessarily, and maybe a lot of people feel that way. And we're just all kind of waiting for our moment to kind of speak up and get mad about it.
You're taking your moment. That's the thing. It's there. I have definitely, I like that idea. Like, if maybe your controversial opinion is, everyone gets a seat at the table.
Yeah. I mean, and it shouldn't be controversial, right? Like, that's kind of the other thing, is like, trying to come up with what I saw as a controversial opinion.
That is controversial.
Coming up short, because I don't consider it that, but right. Yeah.
In certain, but that's the thing, when I tell people controversial opinions, it's like, it's controversial with someone, because mm-hmm. every opinion is controversial with someone, and it's some, you know, it's not going to be controversial to some people, but I would say definitely in like left type circles, mm-hmm. there has developed an idea that only like certain kinds of people are able to weigh in on certain kinds of things. Like, if the question is about race, then it has to be a person of color. Well, it's just like, I just am so tired of the concept of like that there's white people and then people of color. Like,
yeah,
okay, we have to, like, I get what
We're
you're saying, but we have to
like
move
segregation
away
again in the name of, you know, community, which is what I think is happening. And
right. We just need to move away from the idea of separating whites and colors as if people are laundry on a kind of level, when it doesn't make sense. We're all in this together. We can still talk about historical colonizations and things like that, but it doesn't make sense to keep dividing the world that way.
So that's for me, it's a balance thing, and like something I've gone through with my partner, and as far as the queer community goes and being a part of it. And maybe I wouldn't have ever seen it this way if I hadn't had a trans partner, but, you know, just being simultaneously really happy and thrilled for my partner transitioning and finding this new community of people, and simultaneously isolated from it. Not by way of malicious exclusion, just because there is a need for these communities to have a place to safely, you know, be together and form a community. There's just a lack of balance that I felt among the queer community, where that's all well and good, but like, where do we go other than that? Right. And like, there isn't this coming together that I see anymore. It's kind of turned into, you know, my own perception of it seems like there's a lot of like clicks happening. There's a lot of segmentation going on between this kind of queer person, this kind of trans person, whatever you may be. And everybody is in support of them having a community, but we're all kind of just staying separate from each other, and little resentments are brewing, and you can kind of see those things playing right. out.
Well, because like I was saying, like kind of these in the left circles, and especially when it comes to queer stuff, it's like these kind of very strong rules of like who's allowed to talk or weigh in on certain topics. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one thing you've expressed some frustration about to me is that like there are like groups for trans women who like, or trans people maybe, who where their partners and other people aren't allowed in. Right. And to me, I'm like, well, that would be fine if you could also have some groups where it's for trans people and their partners.
That's exactly where I was coming from on it, because Annie and I had had a lot of conversations about that. And yeah, that's kind of always where we would meet in the middle, because she does have that need for the community that maybe I don't have that perspective on. I didn't understand the importance of that until we had talked about it in length. And then, you know, obviously we have different perspectives, but yeah, just the lack of not having a place that feels like we can both be there and vice versa. And it's kind of a niche thing too. You know, I've talked to very few other friends that are, you know, cis partners of people that have transitioned, and there has been a similar feeling from what I can tell talking to those people, that, you know, it's not your time to really say anything and you get kind of lonely. It's just, there's two separate things going on when a partner transitions, and the challenges I was having with it were very much dealt with alone, because I didn't want to disrupt anything positive. And so it was really difficult to find a community of people that were
Are there any communities, groups, discords, whatever, where it is just partners of people who have transitioned?
I was only able to find a subreddit at one point that was my partner is trans.
Maybe you got to start your own group.
It's difficult to conceptualize those things for me, because I don't feel like there's enough people in that demographic to really get a large enough following. And maybe that's kind of, I was surprised when I found the subreddit and that it was so active. It was really helpful for me, just to read stories like mine and, you know, not have to worry about, oh, I'm a shitty person for feeling this way or even having this challenge. Like, who does that make me? Or maybe I haven't been, you know, who I thought I was this whole time because I'm having this challenge. And you know, none of that's getting talked about because I'm sweeping it under the rug. I'm not trying to hurt my partner, you know, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen, because eventually that stuff comes out in some way that you're not wanting it to. So
did you consider really yourself straight or bi or before she transitioned?
I considered myself pansexual for sure. So like, I had had sex with trans people before. So yeah. And it wasn't really a surprise with my partner. It was just a surprise going through the feelings that I went through, because I didn't expect to like at all, because I had expected it. I was like, well, yeah, this makes sense. So I was very challenged by the feelings that were coming up. It was obviously a lot of stuff that maybe I would have never found out about myself otherwise. So deeply grateful for that. Again, like the discomfort, I'm kind of like, yeah, give me that shit. kind of like emotional cutting in a way. But you don't, I don't know, necessarily expect those reactions out of yourself. But the problem was I didn't really have productive place to talk about it.
So did you, felt like the some group that your girlfriend was in or is in would have been a good place to talk about those things? Or like, what was
not necessarily, that was more of just like, you're meeting a lot of new people, and a lot of these people I have met and have met and friendly with, it's fine. Like, we'll see each other in person, and it's never been anything but welcoming and nice. So that was a little jarring for me, that
just to, like, feel excluded.
Yeah. And again, it's not like something I would want to be like, hey, like blown up into this special case scenario. Like, I backed off of it, but it was, you know, discouraging, because there wasn't another place. Like, okay, well, I'll just hang out and hope that, you know, maybe we can start coming together a little more in person, or, you know, not having to be the sole person responsible for facilitating that would be nice. Because that's kind of how it's felt too. Like, you know, like, oh, well, maybe you should start your own group kind of thing. It kind of feels overwhelming sometimes to feel like there's not enough people, I don't know, talking about this.
I guess for sure there's definitely more trans people than there are cis people dating trans people. Unless the polyamory community is really holding the numbers over.
Which is something else I see for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have met cis partners of trans people, and it's kind of the same vibe, or they're very quiet. So we're not talking. It's just, it's really hard. It's really hard to feel like we're as much of a community just as queer people as it used to feel. And I don't know if that's just because I'm in a certain situation or because things have really gotten so separated. Maybe it's a little of both.
Because maybe it's just, you know, there's a problem when in left type circles, we have such a kind of intersectional calculus for who's able to speak, who can speak on things, who we should listen to, whose voices should be elevated, all that kind of thing. Then maybe that's part of why we don't seem to have as much harmony in the queer world as we used to, because there's just too much of that weird underlying kind of strange competition.
And yeah. So must be this queer to enter. You must be this queer to enter.
Must be this queer, exactly. You must have 17 points on the LGBTQIA plus 2X, whatever spectrum.
Right, right.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I mean, one thing that I think of when you talk about, like, who has a seat at the table, talking about things, like I just have started developing my own resentments and sensing it from other people when it comes to that kind of like only trans people are allowed to talk about trans questions. And it's like, well, okay, but what exactly is a trans question? Because sometimes the things that we're talking about that are questions with trans involved in it have to do with women's issues.
Right. And you're getting that reaction by way of like your work, I imagine. Like you're getting the people actually commenting and, you know, giving you that feedback, which is, you know, even trickier, obviously. I would say I get less real world people telling me that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a reason I don't do anything performative. I don't know how I would handle that stuff. Because, yeah, it's worth talking about both things. The thing is, it's just, when you get a reaction like that, it's rooted in somebody's personal feelings at some point. Mm-hmm. I've been reading this book lately called Monsters, and it's about a fan's kind of dilemma about, you know, the artist versus, you know, the work they do and what happens when the artist is, you know, yeah, a monster. So how do we reconcile that? And she made a point about just the allure of having a point sometimes and feeling like justified in that point for whatever reason. And especially if it's, you know, the status quo of what is, unquote, correct right now. If it goes against somebody and you can call them out, there is an allure to that. Everybody gets a little bit of a high from calling someone out and people backing them up. You know, I've done it. I think we've all done it. And I think when you get comments like that, it is a bit of that. It's like, well, here's an easy way for me to kind of make my voice heard, but they're not really thinking about the results or like why, maybe necessarily. They're hung up on a certain thing that they see something you're saying might be damaging, but I don't know why. From their comments, usually it's just kind of vague feelings and outrage and no real conversation.
Right. So outrage was the other thing that you said, you know, you want to talk about, the aspect of this.
Yeah.
Is that you feel like kind of outrage culture, maybe. Yeah, it's like, you know, when people talk about cancel culture and whether that term is appropriate or whether it's an umbrella term that has a lot of different things and some of it's okay and some of it's, you know, I mean, outrage culture is a separate but overlapping issue.
Yes.
So maybe that's another thing to talk about besides just cancel culture, is outrage culture.
Yeah. And I mean, that might be more appropriate than cancel culture. I mean, we should be outraged, right? Like, it's not something I'm saying, like, don't be outraged, but.
Right. Just like some people should be canceled.
Separate it from, like, the work we are trying to do as a community. Right. And maybe, you know, instead of attacking someone in your community because, you know, maybe you said something that offended them in some way, or maybe you were wrong even and needed to be called out. Who even knows? It's just, maybe take the time to separate that. Let's have those conversations, like, together, offline. Let's not make it part of the bigger agenda, which is we have work to do. We're not winning anything as queers, and we're just kind of getting more and more separate from each other, more and more resentful, it feels like. And if you're not resentful, you're at least feeling alone and without a community or support group. And largely the people I've talked to, it's that. It's not a sense of, I'm outraged and pissed and ready to fight. I see that online a lot, but in person, it's more of just this general sadness and loneliness. And that's all because we're not talking about those things that outrage us, the things that we're clearing the room with, so to speak.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I think you might be onto something in terms of like what's breaking down, because I think queer people are largely not being able to be honest with each other because we have the victim hierarchy situation, and so only some people are allowed to talk about this topic and other people, and you can always, someone can always be called out because they broke some kind of rule. So what that's done is made us not talk to each other and not be honest with each other. Like, I think about this with one of my best friends who's a trans chick who you know, like, has recently gotten upset with me and really, like, has told me that I'm like a bad person now, and she's just watched me over the years get worse and worse in all these ways. And like, you know, I'm like, you know, the truth is, like, I haven't been honest with her over the past few years about what I really think. Now, I've tried a few times, and she's kind of shut it down in some ways. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's my fault, but it's just this thing that has developed over the years as the culture has gotten more polarized, where, you know, like, when you're in a relationship with someone, like a romantic relationship, or just a roommate or whatever, and you kind of keep sweeping things under the rug, and it's easier to just not get confrontational, but then, you know, all that builds up. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, when she's seeing something or seeing me say something to someone else on a podcast, she's like, oh, what the fuck? Where did this come from? And it's like, oh, I haven't been talking to you about that because you made it very clear you didn't want to hear any of my thoughts, questions, criticisms, concerns. And apparently mine don't matter. Only trans people's matter.
I mean, you know, was that like an ongoing thing, or was it kind of sudden on the other end too, whereas like she just kind of snapped about it? Well, was she communicating with you about it prior to that? I mean,
to some extent, but like I said, so what part of what happened is that we developed between us a culture of, because the couple, the times I had tried to talk about issues with her and I thought, hey, we're people who love each other, who have some differences of perspective, like maybe this would be a really cool conversation to have. Maybe we could really come to understand things, and I could show her my science, she could show me hers, you know?
Yeah.
But because she didn't want to do that, and she, you know, really pretty much shut down those conversations. So I just started like not talking to her about stuff, and kind of even playing dumb about some things that would come up in conversation, because I didn't want to have an opinion one way or another on something that I had a strong opinion about, because I didn't want it to be, you know, because it's like, okay, she doesn't want that. So the point is, like, then all of a sudden she hears me saying something forthrightly on a podcast and then realizes that, but because it's for her, from her mind, it's gone from me having a few little questions to all of a sudden I have all these opinions, but it's because I wasn't talking about it with her. And so I think that's the whole thing within the queer community. I mean, especially lots of gay people are pissed at all the queers and lots of gay people are just like, I'm over this shit. Yeah. Like, we don't have the same, you know what? You've been forcing your way into our letters for years. We never really wanted it, but it's gone badly. No one likes us anymore because of y'all. Like, it's really gotten to a bad place where, like, gay people won't talk about it in front of, you know, queer identifying people, because it's like they're
so
really
you get outraged. You get outraged. People are stuffing things
and now
down.
Everyone's
and, like, we're
outraged.
Just pissed. Like, we don't always even know why. We're like throwing mud because
we're not being able to be honest with each other. The queer community, like, when people from the outside, like, just so y'all know, when we talk about the queer community, there is no queer community.
Yeah, there's no we. And even when you're expressing or calling someone out, there's no we. It's you.
It's you.
It's you.
It's always
and the you. I. It's, you know, for whatever reason you're outraged about this and like you feel it helpful to chime in, the problem with that isn't necessarily the feeling. I don't see a problem with people being outraged and think they rightly should be about a lot of things. The problem is there's not a good way for that conversation to go by leaving an outrage comment or shutting down a conversation that's attempting to kind of go both ways. And it's a really difficult thing to do, because if you're in conflict, it's, I mean, people get therapy for this shit for years before they're ever able to have, like, you know, a back and forth conversation. It takes a lot of active listening, which is really fucking hard.
Well, now we have these generations of people who are raised or half raised online, and so the ability to have conflict, confrontation, emotional maturity in communication, like, it's just gotten worse.
People, you know, they don't feel safe to do it in a way that would allow for more of those back and forth conversations. So I think they opt to shut it down because they will feel unsafe, or maybe they just don't trust the person in a way that allows for that kind of conversation either. And, you know, I kind of come in with my dick swinging sometimes on fucking conversations because I'm trying to facilitate that in a way that I'm kind of trying to knock down these like walls that right. exist in the room. Same. Like, hey, fuck it. Like, let's I'm just going to, I'll like bear the weight of this like discomfort by like making fun of it or making fun of myself or fucking just trying to meet people where they're at so that like I can attempt to listen to what they're saying. And, you know, I get passionate too and I interrupt and, you know, people do that and then they'll feel dismissed. It's really hard listen to each other, especially after all this time when yeah. it's been building and building. Everything's a snap reaction.
Yeah, I remember, you know, as Trump got elected and kind of from then on, there was a feeling from a lot of people on the queer, blue, liberal, whatever side of things who were kind of like, when I kind of said, you know, a lot of us were saying, hey, Democrats, if you will, we just lost an election that really should have been pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should all figure out what went wrong. Mm-hmm. Some of us would say that to others. They would say, no, 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 no. We mm-hmm. need to circle the wagons and just show how bad and stupid and racist and whatever all those people are. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, that's not, you're missing a lot of the point from what just happened. Yeah. And I think that that has continued to be the case where a lot of people, because they can stay in their bubbles, they can stay in their bubbles online and in their world, they don't want to deal with the reality of, like, not just that they're getting less popular or their ideas are, but like, why, you know? And they don't want, they just don't want to hear it. And I've been trying to say, is like, no, you keep telling me to shut up. You tell me to shut up. And I've only been like tiptoeing my way into giving some real opinions in the yeah. past few years.
And I've seen you respond to comments. I've seen you say stuff like, yeah. hey, talk to me about this.
Right. And yeah. and so I've been really, you know, trying to wade in, you know, carefully and whatever, but people really, really want to shut things down and kind of act like I'm the problem, basically. Like when I say something that's a little unorthodox or a little questioning or whatever, like I'm like, no, I really don't think that I'm the problem in those cases. Like when Ava and I were making fun of Dylan Mulvaney on the Gender Fluids podcast mm-hmm. and people were upset because from within the queer community, we're making fun of queers. And I'm like, well, yeah, because I think when
you're
other people
doing that forever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like old news, but also like when other people see that, I think that they go, "Oh, that's fun. Okay, like queer people sometimes criticize other queer people."
I mean,
and
I would
have
rather
a good sense of humor.
Queer people make fun of me than fucking other people right. make fun of me. Like,
right, isn't that better?
Shouldn't we make fun of each other? Like,
right. Otherwise, we're punching down. Right, we're not punching down to make fun of Dylan Mulvaney.
I think it's just, you know, people see platforms now, and it's like you have a platform, and you're speaking on this, meaning people are going to hear it. I think they interpret that into adding to like mm-hmm. the greater problem when it's not necessarily. And that's what
I mean
about the back
actually,
and forth conversation. Right. Context matters.
Right. I think the more that within the queer world, we do have funny, open, interested, engaged conversations with each other, with others, like the better ideas our ideas will get, the better our arguments will get, the more yeah. popular we'll be as we try to win hearts and minds mm-hmm. the way the gay movement did. When you're just telling people what to think and do and bullying people, including in your own community, mm-hmm. it's like, of course we're less popular than we ever have been.
We're just like everything else. I mean, it's just a community based on, you know, gender identity, sexuality. It's not who people are as a whole. So, of course, we're going to have the whole range of people from shitty people that are trying to do harm. I don't think that is what you're trying to do. And if, you know, that's why I think context does matter. It's, do people have the energy to care about that context? Mm-hmm. I don't think they do. And it's a conundrum for me because I don't know how to approach it because I do have empathy and I do think people should be outraged. I don't know how we talk about that in a way that's a little more private. Like, mm-hmm. these are our conversations to have within our own group. Like, yeah. why are we airing this out in front of everybody? Like, why aren't we taking this shit to our private communities that don't exist anymore. But if they did, maybe we could talk about this shit in a safe way.
Right. Like, especially on my Instagram feed when people are commenting. And, like, sometimes I'll delete people's comments. And then they're like, you're silencing a trans non-binary. And I'm like, yeah, because you're making us look bad, dude. Like, I didn't want anyone to read your comment. Because you sound like annoying queer ChatGPT right now.
Yeah, and it's just, maybe it was. You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I wonder how many of the Russians are just,
Who knows if the shit we're even seeing online is authentic. No, I think
people turn themselves into ChatGPT. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, well, that's the stuff we're looking at all the time, every day. It's part of our lexicon. It's there. So, who knows? We're all propaganda victims in some sense.
And perpetrators.
Exactly. So I just think there should be better places to just get pissed with each other, get pissed at each other, even without it being an end-all deal. Yeah. Like, can't we have disagreements and conflict anymore without canceling each other, so to speak, even in our own like relationships? Like, we don't, like, what kind of relationships do you have if you have zero conflict resolution skills with people?
Right.
It's just, everybody's going to be lonely if we keep doing that. We have to have these uncomfortable conversations. We do know who each other are, or we wouldn't know each other.
Yeah.
For the most part, we wouldn't be friends for so long before all of this. And now we're all suddenly lonely and asking each other why. And a lot of it is just like what you said you were doing. You just kind of, it's not a falling out. You just kind of stop.
Mm-hmm.
You stop talking about it because it's too exhausting.
But it's hard, you know, because then when let's say, generally speaking, like, most trans people won't talk to me about certain issues that I have, concerns, questions related to, say, sports or whatever. Then it's like, well, guess who? I am going to talk to other people. So all of our ideas are what's going to mix, and your ideas aren't going to get in.
Like, they won't. They'll just say no. Like,
yeah, no. Or they'll shut it down immediately. Like, they'll say their point, and then as soon as I try to say anything, they call me something. You know, I mean, because... You know, I just have a lot of like, okay, what about the narrower hip situation?
Yeah, like, I feel like lungs. I have privilege in this area because my partner's trans. So, like, there is that trust there where I feel like I get a lot of leeway asking the same questions and maybe not as much of the blowback. And, like, it's deeply beneficial for both of us, I think. So if that can exist in your environment a little more, like, all the better. And, like, it does seem, like, frustrating.
Right. And generally, like, the trans people who will talk to me about that are trans men who oftentimes have a completely opposite opinion than most trans women do about it. So, like, that's the thing. There's not a monolithic idea in the trans community. Yet some people in the trans or in trans ally world, like, want to pretend that we all are on the same page and here's what it is. And it's like, that's not true. So can we please just talk about this instead of saying all of the people with comments, questions, concerns are phobics?
Yeah.
You know, can we please just have these conversations and trust people a little bit more? Yes, there are people all over the political spectrum who aren't coming to those conversations with like a genuine, you know, openness and curiosity and whatever. And yes, even I at this point have some of my own opinions.
Yeah.
You know, but and thoughts and, you know, whatever and questions. But I change my mind all the fucking time. And if somebody comes to me with better stuff and someone can say, oh, here's actually a different way to interpret that. And here's these others, you know, like, let's fucking talk about it. But I have not heard anything that can get me, you know, past the point of like, sports is pretty complicated. We can't just put, you know what I mean? Like, and that's all I'm saying is it's really complicated. Like, for instance, when it comes to ultra distance running, now, I think we probably could get rid of like 100 miles or more. I think we could get rid of sex as a class at all. And because women have like some advantages at that point that kind of balance out the advantages from being male. And
like,
so
we can talk about it in new ways.
We can talk about it in new ways. Yeah. This is 2023. Let's talk about it in new ways.
And that's not excluding anybody. It's an effort to include. It's an effort to, you know, be better.
Because what would be different ways?
It's not going to work the way it is, obviously.
Right. We're moving on from old models. We need to evolve. And so, like, this rigid, sometimes there's just such a rigidity of ideas of, like, it's this or you're transphobic. And it's like, you're leaving the non-binary people out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, we don't have, I said it before, I'll say it again. We don't have our story straight in the queer world. So how can we be such bullies to everybody who doesn't even know half of what we're talking about and tell them they're stupid bigots for not understanding what we don't even have straight?
Yeah. And we're not going to be talking to any of them if we're not even talking to each other. Like, all we're going to see is people just bickering. I mean, yeah, and there is that separation even within the trans community that I know of. You know, I've talked to trans male friends that have felt lonely within the trans space that, you know, I don't see in the trans women's space. It's just kind of the ratio is just off. And like, that doesn't say anything negative about either group, except that there's a lack of community where it does balance. Again, like the problem I was having, like, well, there is no go-to anymore for like, well, where do I go if I'm just, you know, like a lesbian or, you know, like, I don't really know. And I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about. And it's not even allowed. Like, I don't like saying that kind of stuff. Obviously, we're all allowed to say whatever we want. It's just that I don't know how people expect consideration of their viewpoint from outrage. Like, if you put yourself in those shoes, if somebody comes in with an attack or just telling you you're wrong and that you have no recourse, then what's your reaction going to be?
Right. Well, it's like we're literally told right now by some people, if you have questions about X or if you have concerns about Y or, you know, anything in that kind of realm, you're a bad person. And like, that cannot be, because it's like, then you look at yourself and you go, well, I do have those questions. I'm not going, I just want to be a bad, mean person. And so I'm going to pretend to have these questions. Oh, is that maybe I'm a bad person? Okay, I guess I don't have those questions anymore. That's not how it works. I have questions. I have concerns.
Questions are good. And I mean, and then there's the whole thing of like, well, I'm not going to do the work for you. That response.
It's like, do you know how many fucking books I read? How many podcasts I listen to? How many people I talk to? I'm trying to do the work. I still don't have any good answers on sports.
I think we should recognize
questions. There's some issues going on with prisons.
Like, if people are asking questions, good.
Right.
Because shit's bad when people aren't asking questions and they're just fucking making laws and opinions and stances on everything. Like, keep asking questions. I mean, I've dealt with ridiculous questions from my mom about my partner and like to her face, you know, and like she's so like gracious about it, obviously, because like, and I'm really glad we're on that same page about like welcoming that stuff, because context is important. She's not doing it from this hateful angle. She's doing it because she literally doesn't know. She's never even thought about it before. And the fact that she wants to think about it is good.
Right.
Like, great, because you're not dismissing it completely, and you could.
Right.
So I want people to just kind of realize each other's communities again. That would be great, because it's not even an anger thing for me. I just find myself sad most days, and I find myself sad after I talk to friends, that have lost family members, that are just lonely in their goddamn apartments all day because they said something wrong or they felt like they hurt somebody and they didn't mean to, but now there's no path to redemption and that's been soured forever. And it's just, the permanence of it all is so discouraging.
Well, I have an idea. Maybe we should have Uncomfortable Conversation Wednesdays or something where, you know, we got Meatless Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, and then on Wednesdays, you know, pick someone in your life and say, hey, I have this practice that I've just started where I try to have an uncomfortable conversation with someone every Wednesday. It can be 5 minutes. It can be an hour. It could be about a small topic or a big one, you know, maybe work your way up. But just say, you know, and it could be saying to someone at work, like, hey, I've noticed that, like, you don't seem to do as much of the dishes as I do, you know, or it could be like, hey, you pick a topic. You want to discuss any topic? Oh, I'll talk about
people in my life would be stoked. They'd be like, shit, you're toning that shit down to one day a week.
One day a week, exactly. You do it less. Like,
finally.
You and I should do it less. Other people should do it more.
No, it'd be great. I would love it. I'd live for those conversations. I seek them out. It's just,
well, that's why also those people who say, I can't argue my existence, or like, it's not my job to educate, you know, all those kinds of responses about like, you do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, like, most of the time, fine, we won't talk about it. But on Wednesdays, we're allowed to have a conversation where I go, hey, help me understand why people who went through a male puberty don't have a bunch of advantages, and it's not all just about testosterone levels, which, by the way, aren't even as low as females if you after a year or two of suppression. Anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just help me understand what your perspective on this is.
Like a dumb question, MSD kind of Wednesday thing.
No, no, wrong questions only, which actually used to be the name of this podcast, but
wrong questions.
Wrong
only?
Questions Wednesdays. There we go.
Yeah. I like that. Come that up is with a better alliteration. Flow.
Wrong
yeah.
questions Wednesdays.
I was trying everybody. To. I was like, stop thinking about it because you're gonna stop talking.
Yeah.
Just keep thinking about it. No, it's necessary. It's the only thing that has given me any kind of perspective in life is realizing that the thing I'm all fucking pissed about is something I don't have a full view of and that I don't understand entirely. And maybe that's half the reason I'm fucking pissed. And, you know, it goes deeper than that. And it's not always because people are just wrong and short-sighted and selfish. It's just that we're not seeing each other's perspective.
Right. Well, definitely. That's what I mean. Again, it's like with my one of my best friends who, you know, we've had a bit of a falling out. Like, you know, she's in her bubble. And in her bubble, the science is very clear. And in her bubble, her perspective makes all the sense and mine is very wrong, you know. And I get, and from my bubble, she's very wrong. And my, you know, but I realize we're both missing something. Yeah. I don't think I'm 100% right and she's 100% wrong, but I think she thinks like, oh, I've gone to this dark side. But it's like, but you don't understand that I think you've gone to the dark side and you just don't know that you've gone to the dark side. You think I've gone to the dark side and don't know it, presumably. I think you've gone to the dark side and don't know it, presumably.
Do you think this would be happening if, I can't help but wonder if it's just kind of fueled by the time right now. You know, a lot of shit's happening with laws and it's about to be an election year. Obviously, all this shit is just like a little more sensitive than normal. And makes me wonder if that would have come up otherwise, maybe in the same way, because I think now there's like this sensitivity to, well, you can say this all day long, but at the end of the day, I'm worrying about if I can get my fucking hormones because they're trying to pass laws and right. like you don't ever have to worry about that. And there's merit to that. And I do, but it's just like, can we? Like communicate that maybe.
Right, and my thing is like, well, okay, you're saying that now, but you've had several years where things actually you had all kind of the power, and everyone wanted to be on the right side of history. I mean, right. you know, not everyone, but like there was
and
a lot
what
of
makes me think of the outrage part,
right?
Of and what's going on?
And so then to say now, it's like just too, it's too late. You can't just now be like, oh, now that they're passing all these laws, you can't talk about it. Now we need to circle the wagons. And I'm saying like, no, the point is they're going to keep passing more laws until. Well, you could get some of the rest of us to be on board and understand and not have, because they're able to pass those laws because people do have real grievances and issues and comments and questions and concerns.
Sure.
Now the laws go too far. The laws apparently are written in a really fucked up way for intersex stuff, which is like,
sure. But how often do we take out the bigger shit on like whatever's in front of us that like triggers it? Like,
well, and I think that we need to get to a place where, because it does matter what the population thinks. It's not like Republicans are just passing these things in a vacuum. They're passing it because it works, because of how people are thinking and feeling, because largely they've been bullied about these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, people haven't become more transphobic because, you know, it's just more popular and more fun to be more transphobic. People are becoming more transphobic because there have been some real issues that have not been addressed, that have been repressed, that have been, they've been oppressive. And I mean, I genuinely think that that's, at this point, I mean, I've never seen a cause go so quickly into power, like where, like if you think about civil rights, gay rights, and then trans stuff, like, when that moment kind of happened, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago, like this kind of shifts had happened, like trans rights took off so quick. Trans acceptance took off so quick compared to anything else before it.
Was it in an election year?
No, that's what I mean. I mean, over like, the past several years, there has been, because of the young, and like everybody wanted to be on the right side of history so badly that
right.
everyone was just kind of like, yeah. Y'all
right.
have whatever you want. And then it's gone too far, you know, and some of the ideologies people don't believe in, and people are going, wait, what are you teaching our kids? All this kind of stuff. It's gotten to the point where it's like, now you really have to do the project of winning hearts and minds and figuring out, come to the table and go, well, what does make sense?
At least answer questions.
At least answer questions. Like gay people did when they were debating our rights for all those years. And it was like, I would have nuanced, hard debates with people about gay marriage versus civil marriage versus nothing, and whether it really was better for society or whatever. Like, we had really difficult conversations all the time
right.
that were about my fundamental human rights
right.
and like that's what we had to do, and it's like that's what we're gonna have to do. And if you can't even convince me to be on the same page with you about sports? How are you going to convince everybody who's more conservative about me than me?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, and the average person isn't even that black and white about it. They're just kind of, you know, they can be swayed. They can change their minds. Like you're saying, it's just, you know, maybe they don't have their minds figured out because they're still trying to weigh all the information. And the information's coming at you in this combative way, or this telling you, like, how dare you even want to ask, you know, to gather information, then that person's probably going to look for different information.
And people don't like being told they're bad people, and that's what I'm trying to tell.
Absolutely not.
In the race and gender, you know, tensions in this country, it's like, here's my tip. Stop leading with, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
That's not a great way to start the conversation. Right.
Bad people. I've known plenty of
They're bad people on all sides of everything. Exactly. Yeah. They're good people. They're well-meaning, but ignorant people on every side of things. Like, stop assuming that some people are bad people.
Yes.
And stop assuming, like, this whole country is just founded on racism and transphobia and blah, blah, blah. It's like, just stop. That's not a winning argument. It's not really true.
The wrong people.
The world is gray.
There are bad people. There's very little bad people.
Right.
And we're not talking to any of them, and we never will. Instead, we're fighting with each other. And most of us aren't bad people, from my experience. I think most people,
most
even people that I don't agree with, are good people.
I'll say it here. Most Republicans are trying to be good people.
I've known a lot of Republicans. They're short-sighted. I've known a lot of rural conservatives.
There's a lot of short-sightedness in the Democrat side.
It's a cultural thing. It's so complex. It's not any one thing. And I think that's what people need to realize, is we're not going to get a point across by telling people, hey, it's this one thing you're doing that's fucking it all up. Because it's not. There's so much more context than that. There's a reason they came to believe that, whether it be just, you know, where they grew up, how they lived their lives. You switch shoes with that person, you're not going to feel the same as you feel in your body. You're going to be exactly like they are, because that's how they are.
Right.
And vice versa. It's just, we need to accept that those things are different. We have privilege. We have class separation within our own community that manifest in all these different ways.
There should be more reality shows where people do that kind of trading places thing in life.
Like financial classes, like
I mean like
that would be good.
That should be good to happen too. But I mean, you know, you take like a queer liberal in Portland and make them go work on, you know, a farm somewhere in Mississippi, and take that guy and make him.
He
do
did a little bit of that.
On those, like, saying, we need more of those
on those spouse swapping ones. I
yeah,
saw
but that's
some.
That's not the same. You know what I mean? I really want to make people like have very like different day to day lives.
Yeah.
To see what, you know, to see the pros and cons and the different cultural dynamics that are going on.
The answer is definitely more
reality
shows.
That's definitely. I finally started watching Love Island Britain. I gotta tell you, so fucking good.
Really?
I am very racist against all British people now, but it is very good.
This keeps getting brought up.
I kept getting brought up to me,
so
I finally did it.
Dude, like, damn.
I don't know about anything else, but season 2 of British Love Island, stellar.
Well, be the change we want to see in the world. More reality shows for sure.
And
that way we know what reality is still.
Exactly. And Wrong Questions Wednesdays.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have an ending question on this podcast, do I?
Ending question.
Okay.
Sometimes
just, like,
it just
out.
Sort of ends.
Yeah. Just do you want to plug anything? It could be your own stuff. It could be something
I don't have
that
any
you want
to
recommend.
Stuff to plug.
Favorite book you've read this year?
Shit. I do recommend that book, Monsters.
That sounds
it's by
really good.
An author called Claire.
See, it's fiction or nonfiction?
It's nonfiction.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Claire de something. I don't know.
I think
I can
if you look up
you.
Monsters,
yeah,
book.
It's a pretty recent book. It's really interesting, and you know, she shares her perspective a lot.
D word. D-Durer.
Claire
D-Durer.
Yeah, Claire D-Durer.
D-Durer. D-Durer.
It's really good. It's given me a lot to think about. It's something I haven't really seen written about so fully yet. So,
who are the monsters that get brought up? Is this like Cosby, Weinstein?
All of them. I haven't got, so far I'm like halfway through the book, and I know there's one coming up on Louis. I know there's one.
Yeah. I want to read that one.
Yeah, you know, obviously that's kind of when I started thinking about all this in full, long time.
How about Ellen? Is there an Ellen chapter?
Ellen's in there.
Hell yeah.
It's mostly men,
dude.
But she does like also
lesbians.
She also brings up the women, but she talks about that too.
Yeah.
She talks about the parallels between like, hey, how come so-and-so, like, gets away with this because she was a woman, and then all these men.
I don't know.
It's the first
thing. I'm pretty agnostic about, you know, what the hell Ellen's personality is like or what demons she's got going on. But I will say, I had my girlfriend who'd never seen her Here and Now special, her HBO special Here and Now. She watched it yesterday. We watched it together. Oh, we were laughing so
really.
I love that special. It's so good.
Man.
It's so masterful. Ellen's just one of the best.
I liked her old ones. So
Here and Now.
Like,
go back and watch Here and Now.
Yeah.
You might have watched the really old ones.
Oh, God. It's going to be really hard to, like, remove my current
bias. She's such a
fucking
master.
Of her being an asshole. See, that's part of the problem. This is why I'm reading that book. Right. Like, I need to be able to enjoy shit again.
And you watch some of the people who've given us such amazing art, stand-up, whatever. Like, you're like, you know what? Fucking, I would rather her have not made eye contact with some interns and also made that special than neither, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of the good with the bad.
All right. Thanks, Tiffany.
Hey, thank you.